Let's pray.
Father, we thank you for your graciousness and for the way that you have come to us and given to us those gifts that enables us to come to you and to have this communion with you. Lord, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, for the redemption that he has wrought for us through the cross. And Father, we pray that we may know the peace and the rest that comes from that. We ask that you take your words this morning to our hearts through his name. Amen. Just want to run through a few things. I think that outline has been passed on. That's last week. That outline has been passed on to you. I forgot to get any more copies this week, but if you do, I'll bring some more next week. So we are on to the fourth commandment. We're dealing with the 10 words. And we're going to take one whole session for this fourth commandment for a good reason, as we will see shortly. So those first three commandments have no other gods, and just want to emphasize again that that's prefaced by the deliverance of God. It is the deliverance and therefore the commandments. It is not the commandments and therefore the deliverance. So that's the way that Moses has given it to us, and that's the way scripture is, and that's the way God is. And no other idols, nothing in creation that we can use to represent God except for his word, and that's what he has given to us, the 10 words. And not to use the name of our Lord in vain. We have spoken about that. Now, that's the way we're going to see it. The fourth commandment, is it on that left side relates to God, or is it relate to the others? But we're going to spend time on this because this is the only commandment with a reason. The other 9 are just the commandment, but this one, a reason is given. It's unique, it's different, and we need to see that. And also, just to say this right at the outset, the other 9 commandments, but the 4th is not really a commandment, it's a gift, as we will see. Okay, the Sabbath rest, a misunderstood commandment. Why do I say that? The 4th commandment is the Sabbath day rest, and to most people, this commandment is nothing more than a command to go to church on Sunday. That's the Sabbath rest, keep the Sabbath. But they forget the next part to it, observe the Sabbath. And the next part to it is a dual commandment. The next part to it is keep it holy. Now we'll unravel that. You see, the exhortation to come together does not come from this commandment. Rather, it comes from Hebrews. Let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together. So that commandment to come together, that exhortation to come together comes from Hebrews. Because there's a habit of some not meeting together. But our coming together is to provoke each other to love and good deeds, to encourage one another. And of course, Hebrews was written to people who have been persecuted. So, the 4th commandment involved all that, but it involved all that coming together, but much more, much, much more. And really it is the sum of the first 3 commandments, exhorting us to worship the God who has created and redeemed us And that's the reason for the first three. So, so this is what is written in Deuteronomy. This is the commandment, the fourth. Two parts. Observe the Sabbath day and to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male or female slave, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So again, you know, in these 10 words, it's the second time Moses repeated it again. You know, you were delivered out of Egypt. The deliverance, we must never, never forget that. We are asked to observe the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. So it's really a dual commandment here. The reason given here is that we should come away from the work that we do to make a living or whatever, to remember the Lord who has brought you out of Egypt. It is a celebration of our deliverance. If we don't see that deliverance, we don't pay due attention to that, then of course that celebration doesn't mean much. But if we truly people who are delivered, redeemed, then yes, it is time spent to acknowledge the God who has given life to us and liberated us from the bondage of sin. And it is time spent to acknowledge all that God has done for us. And it is a time for renewal, which is what we need. And we ignore that to our detriment. You see, our secular society has gone against all that. We don't have enough time for the pursuit of our personal development. So we make use not only of the Saturday, but also on the Sunday. So children do not have time to go to church. You know, they've got football practice or piano practice or whatever, swimming lessons. And of course, that attitude is fostered by the parents. So this is a commandment which we need to observe and not to resist. So there are two injunctions here. As I keep saying, observe the Sabbath day and to keep it holy, and they both are linked. So to observe the Sabbath day, we can understand, right? So, you know, we celebrate, we have time, so we observe the Sabbath day. But why is it linked to keeping it holy? And you see, the way we understand it is, well, okay, we observe the Sabbath day, and so we go to church and we have a worship, and we're keeping it holy. No, that's not what is meant here. You see, this second bit of the commandment needs some explanation before we go on. I think I've done a few studies on holiness. I'll repeat it again. You see, holiness is not a state that we can achieve by what we do. Holiness is tied to the presence of God. God is holy, and there is nothing that we can do to attain to the state of holiness. And because it's not the result of our actions. Our holy actions are the result of God's presence in our life. We are holy because God is in us and God is holy. Holiness is not an attribute that we can somehow obtain, and then because I've obtained this thing, that is called holiness, therefore I'm holy. No, that's not what holiness is. Holiness is tied to the presence of God. And it is something that God imparts to us. And that's holiness. And apart from the presence of God, there's no holiness. So, what is implied in this commandment when it ties the two together is that we come away from our secular concerns, our material concerns of life, to the God who will renew us by His presence. Indeed, God has commanded us to do so. It's for our own good. And the further we move away from Him, the further we are, or the more we are on the path of error. And we need to call that error sin. We may continue to be successful, just like the Canaanites, until the day of reckoning. So, we have said that the nature of the Ten Commandments is a statement of the nature of God. They are not merely given to us to put us in our place, as I showed you on that photo last week, you know, when the road is all covered in white snow. It's hard to know where the road is. And we need that that post on the side to tell us where the road is so that we can keep our car on that road. So what the commandment is saying is that since they are the nature of God, and we are created in the image of God, then that's the way we should be, you know. Really, in a way, yes, there are commandments, but it's not kind of commandments that is external to us. They are commandments that is part of our whole being. That's the way we should be, you know. So it's a statement of who God is and how we should be. And therefore, they're not part of the legal scene. They are relational statements, you know. Well, it's just like when the wife tells the husband, you should be, you know. She's not giving a command. Well, we don't like that. We think they're commands. But she's stating a relationship, really. But I suppose that's the way she put it. And so we don't like that very much. But, you know, they're relational statements rather than a command to obey. So, the fourth commandment is not a commandment that we should ignore. Well, I mean, all the commandments are such that we can't ignore. And neither can we treat it as optional. So, like, you know, the commandment, thou shalt not kill, what we know, right? We shouldn't do it. Well, so the same for the fourth commandment, the same for the first, the same for every one of them. So this commandment gives to us the image of God, and they tell us who God is, creator of life and the creator of the community. And that's why we need to worship the only true God and to respect the sanctity of life and the material possession of the community, as the other commandments give to us. They are not mere rules to follow. That's the way we should be. So, why do we have to remember the Sabbath, the seventh day? Well, why can't we read the Bible, have our own private devotion, pray in the privacy of the home, or better still, have the pastor visit us for a private devotion? You know, that should make it. You see, the reason given is in the commandment itself. This is the only commandment that carries with it a reason. And there are two reasons. The first is, what have we got? Yeah. Well, the two reasons, we have read the one in Deuteronomy. But Exodus gave to us another reason. The Ten Commandments are given to us, recorded for us in Exodus 20, Exodus 20, as well as in Deuteronomy 5. Now, so this is the version. Well, I shouldn't say a version. This is the reason that is given to us in Exodus. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That's the same. That's the dual commandment. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son, your daughter, your male and female slave, your livestock, alien residents in the town. That's the same as what is stated in Deuteronomy. But the reason is a bit different. For in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and consecrated it. So here, we are given a reference to the creational account. And the seventh day is the rest of God. And we are in the seventh day of God. And there is more to be said about the seventh day, but we will not engage ourselves with that at this time. So that reference in Exodus was really to Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. But the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. And so on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And so God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So that's the first reason given, which is creational. And Deuteronomy gives to us that second reason. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought you out there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, keep the Sabbath day. So Moses has got things, you know, set out very clearly. It's because of the deliverance. Therefore, the Sabbath day. Now, God completed his creation. It is good. He blessed and made the seventh day holy, in which his creation exists. So we live in this seventh day, which is the holy day of God. Now, what it means is that this is the day where God is present, because holiness is tied to the presence of God. So, we may want to separate, say, well, okay, God made the day holy, so the day has become holy. But you cannot think of a day that is holy apart from the presence of God, right? There's no such thing as a holy day where God is not present, you see. So, in other words, we are living in this holy seventh day. We are living in the presence of God. That's what he's saying to us. And so, this seventh day is given to us. It is God's gift. God made this seventh day for our benefit. It is part and parcel of humanity living in the grace of God, living in the seventh day, living in the presence of God. And that's why Jesus said he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He made and ordained this seventh day and offered to us as a gift, and therefore we observe it. The Sabbath day was made for mankind, not mankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. So the Sabbath day is not a day in which, this is what we have to do, right, to honor God. Yes, we do that. But more than that, because this Sabbath day, God made it. God made this Sabbath day as a gift to us. It is not we humankind that make the Sabbath day. God made this Sabbath day for us as a gift to us. Now you see, the Pharisees missed this whole point of the Sabbath. They saw it as a ritual to be observed, right? So the commandments say it's a day where you should not be working, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. So they multiply that and spell out exactly what you can do and what you can't do. And so they turn something that is given to us as a gift, turn something that is given to us by the grace of God, and turn it into a law, turn it into legalism. A gift from God that is given to us for our freedom, they turn it into a bondage. And we do that all the time. We shouldn't just criticize the Pharisees, because we do that quite often. So they saw the Sabbath day as something that you do to please God. And we do that today too. Yeah. And a lot of our thinking is very much the same. So the Sabbath day is really God's gift to us. The rest that God gave to us for our reformation. So blessing is what God gave to us by His presence. And holiness is what God is doing in us by His presence. And the Sabbath is what God has made for us. And this is part of His enabling. Maybe I shouldn't say part. This is His enabling. You know, not just a part of it. This is His enabling for us to live the life that He wants us to. And this is the connectedness that we have in the body of Christ, where the blessing of God is passed from one to another. You know, just like what we read in Hebrews, you come together to provoke each other to love and to good deeds. So it says something about the community of God's people. We would not fully know Christ and to know that love of God until we know that body life of Christ, where the whole community of Israel observed the Sabbath day as a body of God's people. So it is God's way of taking us away from the task of changing creation, of tilling the ground and doing all the things that we need to do, and setting right the body, setting right the errors of the bodies and structures to be with God in the body of Christ. And it is in that togetherness, that togetherness in the presence of God, that the Spirit of God works and does that reformation work in us. The silent work of the Spirit takes place. You see, we are all outcome-oriented people, right? Nothing pleases us as much as to say, look, this is the result. And that's why we till the land, do our garden, prune our roses, because we can stand back and say, look at what I have done. We love that. But God is asking us to come away from that. Come away from that outcome orientation. Come away from your showcase, you know, from what you can display to your friends. Come away from all that and to know Him. And this is precisely what the psalmist say to us. Be still and know that I am God. I'm exalted among the nations. I'm exalted in the earth. It's to come away from all that. And we need to. And when we are engrossed in that outcome, you know, 6 days of our life, 6 days of the week, we need that renewal. And this is God's gift to us, to be still and to know that He is God. You see, to know that He is God is not a head knowledge. It is that relational knowledge, to know that He is there with us. And this is part of our Christian formation, you know, not just reading books that people write or getting a theological degree. And our Christian formation is not cerebral, it's not in the head, it's in the heart. It is in the presence of God, in the presence of the Spirit. And this is the Sabbath, where it takes place. So, it's like the husband or wife seeing that the spouse has worked hard and say, look, why don't we go away for a weekend by the beach or something that we can be together. Sure, they have been together all week, all evening, but here's a special time. It's a gift to the spouse, to the other. And it is a renewal of the marriage relationship. But the spouse says, no, that kitchen needs to be clean and, you know, the lawn has to be mowed and the roses has to be pruned, you know, vegetables got to be ironed. Well, those chores are necessary, you know, we need to do that. But where is the priority? You know, we need to come away from all that. As we have said regarding holiness, that it is something that is done to us, not by us. And that's why it's to observe the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. It is an active verb, but to keep it holy really says, observe the Sabbath day and be kept holy. You know? So in the Sabbath remembrance, as we celebrate it, it is something that is done to us in the process. Not so much as what we do. And I remember the... I've got a note here to tell this story of the pastor to the parishioners. So this chap has been in the church for a long time, and you know, after the service, he went up to the pastor and said, yeah, pastor, it was a good sermon. I've heard many of your good sermons, but I don't remember very many of them, which is not very flattering to the pastor. But the pastor looked at him and said, yeah, yes, I know that. I can fully appreciate what you're saying. You know, I've seen you as a young lad, and you have grown up. And I'm sure your mother has given you many lovely meals. And I don't think you remember very many of them, but they've done you a lot of good. And I think that's what it is. So while we do something, God is working in us, and God is saying, come away, this is my gift to you. This is your reformation. This is your renewal. Come away and let me do this in you. And so we cannot attain to that holiness. Just by observing the Sabbath day doesn't mean that we will be holy, but it is in the presence of God that we are kept holy. Well, the fourth commandment is a command, but it is also our freedom, where we are freed from all that we have to do, from our secular activities, which we are all involved in. So to some people, observing the Sabbath seems like a bondage, you know. Another 2 hours on a Sunday morning, I could have done so much more. But to observe the Sabbath is really our freedom. It is an expression of our freedom. For this, we have seen the two records in Exodus and Deuteronomy. Creationally, that's what God has made us, and our deliverance. The The account in Exodus gave to us the creational mandate. That's referring to the creation in 6 days. And the account in Deuteronomy gave redemption as the reason. And the two dovetail together. God has created us and redeemed us and brought us to Himself. Now, this freedom is extended in Exodus and in Leviticus. You see, it's not just the seventh day. There is the seventh year. So when you buy a male Hebrew slave, he shall serve 6 years, but in the seventh, he shall go out a free person without debt. If he comes in single, he shall go out single. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If the master gave him a wife, and she bears him sons and daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out alone. But if the slave declares, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out a free person. Then the master shall bring him before God, and he shall be brought to the door on the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him for life. So that seventh year is the year of freedom for the servants in the house. And the thing is, he might be given his freedom, but because, well, my master has been so good, I do not want to go out free. And in not going out free, that's not his bondage, that is his freedom. He loved to be there in the presence of his master. So when his ear was pierced and he shall serve him for life, that is his freedom. He made a free choice to do that. It's an expression of his freedom. And then we have the year of Jubilee, which is 7 times 7. You shall count off 7 weeks of years, 7 times 7 years. So that the period of 7 weeks of years give you 49 years. Then you shall have the trumpet sounded out loud on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall have the trumpet sounded out throughout your land, and you shall hallow the 50th year, and you shall proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. You shall return every one of you to your property, and every one of you to your family. The 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. You shall not sow or reap the aftergrowth or harvest the unpruned vines, for it is a jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat only what the field itself produces. In this year of jubilee, you shall return every one of you to your property. When you make a sale to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor, you shall not cheat one another. When you buy from your neighbor, you shall pay only for the number of years since the jubilee. The settler shall charge you only for the remaining crop years. If the years are more, you shall increase the price, and if the years are fewer, you shall diminish the price, for it is a certain number of harvests that are being sold to you. You shall not cheat one another, but you shall fear the Lord your God, for I am the Lord your God. So, this year of Jubilee is that year of restoration. So that what happens here is that when some who may be poor or impoverished, and you know they need to survive, they may sell part of the land to the neighbor, to somebody else, right? So in that year of Jubilee, all is cancelled. It will return to the original owner. There is a bit of settlement to do. Yeah, you should not cheat one another, but a fair settlement for the years that the neighbor has used the land. So that's a year of Jubilee, and that is that's freedom. So you see, in other words, creationally, this principle of renewal is programmed into the people, into the land, and the way the people were to deal with each other. And they are ordained by God for the good of His creation. It is the rest creation needs in relation to the Creator. And this rest for us is found in Jesus Christ as we are brought into Him and in union with Him. So just as our body needs the physical rest for its good and for its function, in the same manner, this Sabbath rest is God's provision for us, for our spiritual well-being, for our renewal. So that's why, interestingly, this commandment sets up the creational mandate and the redemptive work of God together. So creationally, rest is programmed. And so spiritually, redemptively, yes, it is programmed for us. So this rest is found in Jesus Christ. And so therefore, that's why Christ said, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So, that's what we are asked to do. So Sabbath keeping is part of our Christian formation. It is God's gift to us. It is what God has provided for us. And we ignore it to our peril. This is part of the creational package for us to receive the blessing of God and to be sanctified. And that's to be made holy in the presence of God. It is our rest. It is our rest and the celebration of our freedom. It is not a bondage. It is not a chore. This is a quote from Dorothy Best, who wrote about Christian formation and the Sabbath rest. She said, "The Christian practice of keeping the Sabbath embodies a theology of creation, liberation, and resurrection." And that's what we've been saying. Creation, liberation. And keeping Sabbath forms persons and communities in faith and foster resistance to distorted ways of living and inadequate views of human identity that implicit in the culturally dominant experience of time. And in our days, more so, we need to take note of this provision of God. I was going to say the commandment of God, but this is really, when we call it a commandment, but this fourth commandment is really the provision of God for us. And how much more we need it. You see, Augustine understands the commandments, right? And this is well exemplified in the fourth commandment. You see, the fourth commandment wasn't given to us so that, well, let's see how much you observe the Sabbath day. No. God has given the Sabbath to us. And that's what Augustine is saying. Give what you want to command. And after you have given, well, command it. You see, and this is exactly what the fourth commandment is. God has already given the Sabbath, right, as that day of rest for us. And having given to us the Sabbath, who is the Lord of the Sabbath, He now commands us to observe it. And this is exactly what Augustine is saying. And, of course, the other well-known reference saying of Augustine is, "You have made us for yourself, and our souls are restless until we find our rest in you." And that is our Sabbath rest. And God has provided that rest for us. And so, you know, if we have got little regard for the Sabbath day, let's take note of what Isaiah said. Isaiah 58. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestors, Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Can you see, it is God's gift to us. What we are doing is that we are rejecting this gift of God. It is not a bondage. We can distort this whole passage of Isaiah, and we say, there you are, this is the condition for receiving the blessings of God. Not so. No, that's not what it is. Because the blessings of the Sabbath is already given. So this is not a condition for receiving the blessings of God. We honor the Sabbath, the seventh day, for our own good. It is taking the gift of God and allowing Him to transform us and to mold us to the kind of people we ought to be, fully in union with Him through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is our freedom. And is free from the chores that binds us to a selfish existence. And we need that for ourselves, because God has provided it for us. So I should have that chart of the commandments again. So here, right in the middle, in this fourth commandment, is God's provision for us in observing the 10 words of that covenant relationship. And that's what it is. And plumb in the middle here is the Sabbath. It kind of, you know, neither belong to the left side or the right side, but it is there, given to us to enable us to come into that covenantal relationship, which is the 10 words of the covenant relationship. And that's what it is. Well, let's pray in closing. Father, we thank you for your great gift to us in so many ways, and your enabling to us in what you have asked us to do, not only in our relationship with you, for which you have provided for us, but also in our ministry and in the things that we do, that you have given to us, your blessings, your gift. So, Father, we pray that we may heed your words, that we may know the joy of all that you have given to us. Amen.